Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Idly hey!
Welcome to another episode of The Brett Allen Show.
Prepare to be astonished!
A pop culture podcast. Join Brett weekly as he interviews your favorite celebrities from film, television,
I'm back in business, baby!
Comedy, and much more.
Inconceivable!
Plus, you never know who will stop by.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Now, here's your host, Brett Allen.
Welcome in, everybody, to yet another episode of The Brett Allen Show, a video and audio podcast where we interview your favorite actors and celebrities from film and television, music, comedy, and more. And today, I tell you, the Borrego interviews, we're going to have so many for you. But I'm excited about this one. We're chatting with actor Nicholas Gonzalez. He is a part of this fantastic project. And of course, if you ever watched The Good Doctor, you would recognize him from that as well, among many other things. Nicholas, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Brett. This is awesome.
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited to chat with you. Well, let's dig right in. Borrego is just a fantastic film. Yes, and of course, I've had the privilege of watching this. I've watched it a couple times in between press junkets. And I just tell you, every time I watch it, I kind of find myself seeing a little bit more than what I saw the first time, because I feel like this show has a lot of different layers, and you know, there's a lot of themes that we're talking about, but let's talk about your character, which is very centered and pointed for the story, and sort of what your hope and expectation is for people who get a chance to watch it.
I really do hope people do get a chance to watch it, and I hope no one is ever dissuaded thinking, you know, it's a straight border story or, you know, cartel thing. It's the layers we don't get, you know, in
yes,
many of those representations in so many of those films. That this is the antithesis of that, you know, which is the answer. So there's texture, there's life, there's humanity, and ideally, I hope people watch it and get a different perspective, Brett, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And his name escapes me, but we were talking about this the other day. About the fact that this is not what you would expect. It's not a typical cartel
film, you know, like,
yes. And, okay, sorry. My brain is like all over the place right now.
Yeah. How many times is your voice ever going to go back to Lena? You know, you met one.
Yeah. you know, it's not, yeah, he's great. It's not the trope of, like, you know, the cartel type films like a Sicario, which are all great movies. But really what you see is, you know, a lot of humanity in some of these characters.
The background of all that, you know, this is the collateral damage, if you can say of it. You know, this is adjacent in ways that I think is what we're talking about, is like we're now getting a fully fleshed out character, not some tropes.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that I picked up on initially. And, sure, you know, the question is, you know, how far is somebody willing to go, whether it be for freedom in this particular case, or family, good versus evil, and kind of sort of pushing those stereotypical boundaries of what this kind of story. I mean, there's clearly bigger themes here than just that.
There's definitely like one of the larger themes that I didn't really even consider in some ways of the way it comes around full circle. I'm not going to ruin anything by telling you Ellie is a woman who's escaping, and she's escaping addiction and horrible accident, something she's responsible for. And that's my understanding. I mean, honestly, well, we all as actors have our own stories with what Ellie is going through. And then there is drug trafficking that is happening in this film of fentanyl, which is the exact, you know, kind of drugs that they were then addicted to, you know, and then really seeing the different sides of, you know, this wheel that it creates, this wheel of pain, you know, of not only with the addict, but then how is it brought, you know, how is this demand, demand supplied, you know, this
yeah.
demand.
And
what, how
it just,
responsible is people of having this demand for these drugs?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, just even as we're talking about this, you know, some of these scenes are replaying over in my head,
right.
About just, you know, the whole thing. So how did you get involved with the project? Because I know this originally, the idea was a short film at first, and then it sort of kind of progressed into a full length feature, which I think it's always great when something like that is being done and then it has the opportunity to sort of definitely germinate and grow.
Right. That's always everybody's, you know, wish for, you know, short of like, I'm going to do this because I want to do the feature or something. And Jesse did. But I think it also goes to show that, you know, looking at me as the actor, you're asking how I got involved. I knew a couple of the producers who came to me about this part and then told me about this kid, you know, I say kid, but Jesse Harris, who was the writer and director. And, you know, I said, send me the script. And I just immediately was like, yeah, I want to do this one, you know? And then you just kept hearing about the people that were involved, you know, Lucy Hale's involved. And, you know, we go back to the days of, you know, Pretty Little Liars, but even more so, you know, both obviously grown since then. But there's just beautiful work being done by her. And she was a producer on this as well. So, you know, it's something that she's very invested in. And then as the cast just started to populate with an incredible lineup of people that I was already a fan of, you know, I've been on Narcos myself, but I'm a bigger fan of the show than anything than being a part of it myself. And, you know, Leonard's performance and then Jorge's performance on that show, I was just kind of so excited to work with them. And it ended up being everything I would hope it would be. And, you know, I walked away with two really great friends as well.
Yeah. And there's a lesson to be learned here, I think, too, is that on a side note, if you are a content creator or you're involved in anything, you know, I think there's no reason to not do something because you just never know what the end product could be. I mean, everybody has these ideas of what they want to do and things like that. But I think we often stand in place of ourselves and prevent ourselves from taking that leap because what once was probably, you know, I'm sure in the long scheme of things is like we want to make it a feature, as you mentioned, but right. not really knowing that was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, one thing leads to another. People like yourself get involved to support it and lift it up. And then next thing you know, you have a feature film. Switching gears, sir, you've been a part of a lot of great projects. And, you know, again, we've mentioned The Good Doctor, but other films and television shows, Narcos, and a lot of things throughout your career. But what was it, Nicholas, that interested you and made you desire to become a storyteller or an actor? Mm-hmm. Was there a defining moment or did it just kind of happen and translate over time?
Well, I do remember pretty vividly leaving a performance. I want to say it was probably like, gosh, I don't know. I think it was like a Les Miserables or something like that. And I remember watching this performance and leaving and saying, I want to do that. And people are like, oh, you want to, you know, like get the applause when you're, you know, at the end and be, I go, no, I want to do what was done to me. Like I felt something. I felt like moved, you know, I felt taken somewhere, I felt challenged, and I was like, I want to make people feel like that. I didn't quite understand what it was yet, And for me, being a storyteller was being a little brother who always fought for attention, you know, and had a very vivid imagination when he ended up on his own. I was a latchkey kid, you know, it was a lot of things that, you know, and I don't know, for your viewers who don't know what a latchkey kid is, you know, is those of us that grew up in the '80s when it was like mama had to go to work.
I was one for sure.
And
yeah,
we literally
definitely
had around our neck. Hopped off by the carpool and go, and then go inside and drink Doritos and Dr. Pepper all day. So mom got home.
And watch television. Yeah. Until mom came home from work.
I grew up
evening.
On that. I grew up, you know, but I didn't think growing up as a kid in San Antonio, Texas, I didn't think I'd become an actor. You just didn't think about it then. Now there's acting classes everywhere and there's photographers who will take your headshots, but then I thought you had to grow up in Hollywood or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I'm very curious, and I think our listeners would find this fascinating as well. Again, when you are a part of something for so long, such as a television show or a series, as an actor, I'm assuming, and I think it's probably true, that you're always looking for new and creative ways to, you know, expand yourself and do things. How do you know when you're doing something for a long period of time, when it's time to sort of go, okay, I want to do something else, if that makes any sense? Not anything specific, but I'm just very curious how as an actor or as a creative, you kind of make those decisions.
Well, when you say I want to do something else, meaning when I decide to take on another project?
Yeah, take on another project. Like, let's say you...
I think there's also a natural progression. I think acting, okay, I'm tired of, gosh, I know I have no say other than my performance that day. I have no say what's going to end up in the edit. I have no say how they're going to do everything else. I have no say. So there is a natural progression that you ask yourself of, like, do I produce? Do I make sure I'm part of this process? Because you're a storyteller who, you know, wants a bit of a say in how the story's told, because you care about it. And that's the interesting thing when you were talking about the short and something that you care enough about to hang on to, to see it through to that dream of becoming a feature, because it has something to say, and Borrego has something to say, and that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think I had an interview last year. I was talking to some of the cast of Shameless on Showtime, and as that show had come to an end, they had brought new characters in and new characters out, and it seemed like when you have a machine like that or any network show and it just is well-oiled and you come on, you do your thing, and then you leave... I would imagine if you are a creative, you probably do get to that place that you just mentioned where you kind of want to be a little bit more involved in the process, which I think makes sense, because unless you just, it really doesn't matter to some people, but I really like your honesty.
But it also depends on the project, you know, because there are some things where you're like, all right, this, I get to go and have fun and shoot, you know, a show with people, and we're just out there knocking around and they tell us where to stand and what to do. And then I get to go over and do, you know, Borrego, you know, and so it really depends. There's just things that you focus on differently. And as an artist, I think even allowing yourself to be called that, and knowing that we work in so many different genres too. And that's the exciting thing, I think, now, is that because there isn't really much of a line, you know, everyone can do anything really in the sense of, as an actor, in the sense of, you can produce your own show. You can, there's no excuse. It's because people are doing it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's open to the people, you know, it's there and it's a available process.
I absolutely love that. And again, you know, it brings to mind another conversation with somebody, and this show was on Snapchat. And the point of it was, is like, if you want to create something, there's no reason why you shouldn't, because there's, you know, no reason to, nobody to stop you, so to speak.
Well, if it's bad, let's be honest. If it's bad, please.
Of course, yeah.
Create it.
Yeah, if it's terrible, yeah.
Those and become the benefactors for those that can do it.
Well, I love it. Well, one last question. I love it. Probably one of the most honest conversations I've had in a while.
Let's always be Brett, you and me.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you define success as a creative? What is the bar or the rubric for you to go, okay, this is, obviously I'm doing something that I love and am passionate about, but is there a specific definition for Nicholas about success, and how that looks for you as a creative and a storyteller, as we've talked about so far.
I think, unfortunately, success, the definition changes okay. constantly, and it changes different points. And for me right now, I'm feeling hella successful right now with my two little ones, my lovely wife, and there's a lot going on in the world, and we're all here together. And I feel like I'm at a point where work doesn't, I used to center my life completely around my work, and it didn't mean that it meant more than it does now. It just means that my life is the most important thing, because that's the only thing I can bring into my work. If I'm the same person giving you what, you know, I'm giving you from 20 years ago, you know, I better start looking for other work. So I got to live my life to make you want to watch the lives we portray. Right. And that,
yeah, I love it.
I think anybody can take into your life. You know, I don't know where that,
that's
was.
Great.
I don't know what that was like. Like I, the guy who does the,
I love it. You're doing the Disney, the Disney point. Yeah. I love it. Well, again, Borrego is fantastic. It'll be available to watch and stream soon. Please do it. And all these interviews will be available in short order. Nicholas, thanks for hanging out with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That brings today's show to a close.
Goodly do.
Thanks for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a friend and subscribe. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of the guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Autobots, roll out.
Go home.